This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesday, August 24th. Good morning, muy buenos dias, and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air on the Feast of the Apostle St. Bartholomew. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Thanks again for allowing me to bring the light of Christ to start your morning, and I hope you're having a great morning. Hope you're off to a great start. Again, my thanks to every one of you who supported the mission of Relevant Radio of bringing Christ to the world through the media in last week's Reach Out and Respond Summer Pledge Drive. We've had a few days to think about it, and I just can't get over the fact of what an amazing experience it was. It was the all-time record for Relevant Radio, a record $3.2 million donated, with 10% of it going to help the suffering people of Haiti. In case you missed it, for whatever reason, it's still not too late. Today's the last time that I'm going to be reminding you that you can still make a contribution. You can still provide a gift to support us here at Relevant Radio. You can make a pledge very easily online at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, or at 877-291-0123. Hey, Glenn, again, I want to bring you in so we can together give thanks to our loyal Relevant Radio listeners just one more time.
Oh, John, those numbers are just tremendous. World's greatest listeners, thank you so much for supporting Relevant Radio so we can keep supporting you and your faith. Those numbers were just tremendous, blowing through our need for the next 3 months, giving us enough to meet that 10% pledge to help the folks from recovery from the earthquake in Haiti. 10% of everything raised last week goes to help through the Catholic Church in Haiti. So great work all the way around.
God is so good. The Lord has provided once again, and our listeners showed that they absolutely stepped up to the plate. So again, we are so grateful. Don't forget relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app if you still feel that you want to give whatever you can. Glenn, real briefly, what are a few stories that you're keeping an eye on for us this morning?
You know, I think once again, John, Afghanistan in the focus. President Biden will be talking this morning here in the next couple hours with fellow G7 leaders, the big economic powers around the globe, virtually over the next couple hours here, talking about evacuation plans and whether or not to keep U.S. troops past that deadline of August 31st, which would be a week from today. Evacuations continue. Unofficial reports of as many as 40,000 have been gotten out of Kabul right now, but also reports of some excursions beyond the walls of the airport to help rescue Americans, even something as close as a hotel 200 yards from the airport, but had to use a helicopter to get folks more safely from that area into the airport. And so the real problem in the country right now is getting to the airport and past the Taliban checkpoints right outside the airport right now. The Taliban has said the U.S. should not stick around past next Tuesday, or they, you know, threatened that is their you know, that line in the sand that they have drawn. So we'll see how that goes. So that's one of our main stories. And then two, John, just prayers for the flooding and the victims in Tennessee. We had just this sad story of a man who lost his 7-month-old twins.
Unbelievable.
On my neck. I had my 1-year-old right here on my hip, and I had my twins like this, kind of grasping onto my 1-year-old. And when the water hit and the room filled up, and that's when I lost them. I lost all of them.
Just sad news from Humphreys County in Middle Tennessee, where they're still searching for about 40 people yet.
Wow. Oh, Glenn, we absolutely need to continue to pray for those people who are suffering because of these floods. My heart goes on to that gentleman who lost his two children, just unbelievable. So there's so much to pray about every single day. But again, thanks for everything that you do. And we continue on, keeping an eye on the news and everything that's going on through a Catholic perspective. Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah, absolutely, John.
And of course, speaking of prayer, we start every hour in prayer, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, whenever we pray, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of relevant radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, in this year of Saint Joseph, we invoke you, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. And we always ask the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Coming up in just a moment, we'll be joined by international Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, who will continue our weekly Remember You Are Loved series as we're going to discuss love in times of disagreement. A little bit later, author and biblical counselor Joe Dallas will join us to discuss responding to a difficult situation of your teenage child saying he or she is gay. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that coming up here this hour on Morning Air. As always, we have our power scripture from the Playbook of Life. Today's edition is from Galatians 2:20. The Apostle St. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle St. Paul reminds us that if we are united to the cross of Christ, we have died to our former ways, especially our enslavement to sin. If we live the grace of our baptism as a new creation in Christ, living out our faith in Christ, working deeds of love, then the life and the love of Christ lives in us, and we can shine the light of our Lord Jesus Christ for all the world to see. And we always finish up praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Again, our number, 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about love.
I know our love still lives on. It'll be again exactly like it was, 'cause I believe in the power of love.
You know, we often hear or say we can disagree, or we can agree to disagree, I should say. But a recent article I ran across said, we don't have to see eye to eye in order to walk hand in hand. I love that expression because as followers of Jesus, one of our biggest challenges is to love and respect people with whom we disagree. As we continue with our weekly series, Remember You Are Loved, we're now joined by international bilingual evangelist, our friend Martha Fernandez-Sardina, to talk about love with today's relevant topic, love in times of disagreement. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, teacher, trainer, writer, consultant. She does it all. The former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com and a host of Remember You Are Loved TV series. My dear Martha, good morning. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to be with you once again for another episode.
Good morning. Great to be with you, John.
Martha, what's going on with so many folks these days? We seem to disagree so much about so many different things. There's so much division. It just seems to be happening all the time. Why do you think this is happening so much?
Well, one day I'm going to write a book that's going to be titled I love God and people. No, what is it? I joke about this. My only problem are people.
Oh,
yes,
my.
Here's the problem. Only God is perfect. God Almighty is perfect, and he loves perfectly. There's no disagreement within the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are completely, perfectly united, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniloving. That's God, right? There's no parting of minds and no parting of ways within the Holy Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But you and I and all of us, we're human. And so we're flawed, we're imperfect. And there's something interesting, John, and that is that Christ, Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, even in his human nature, he says, and he shows us with some of his actions, that he didn't always understand or didn't always know, or it seems that he didn't always even desire, at least we see that in a moment in the agony in the garden, he didn't desire even all the things that God was doing. And we see also likewise in that beautiful passage of, quote, lost and found, where Jesus is supposedly lost and found. He knew exactly where he was, but Mary and Joseph did not know that he had remained behind in the temple. And even there we see that we don't always understand what God is doing. We don't always understand what others are doing. So when Jesus says to Mary, did you not know? She probably could have responded, yeah, no. No, did you not know that I needed to be in my Father's house? No, she didn't understand fully. And we see also John, St. Paul, he shows us clearly that sometimes we don't even understand ourselves. You know, when he says in Romans that he's at war with himself, I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things I want to do, I do not do. And he also, in his own conversion, St. Paul shows that sometimes we can see and understand and defend something one way at one point in our lives, and then we can have a change of heart or a conversion of mind and understand and see things in a new light. We can see it differently. And I'll just add another couple of examples. We see that St. Paul and Barnabas had a parting of ways. They didn't have a meeting of minds, and they split, and they went their separate ways, and apparently over a disagreement that involved a third person, John Mark, whether they should bring him along on the evangelization journeys or not. We see in the Old Testament that Abraham and his nephew Lot, they part ways so as to keep the peace because of the way that their different groups of people were handling things. And lastly, to answer your question as to what's the matter with us, we disagree. We see even St. Paul and St. Peter see things differently. And in one instance, there was a change of minds and an agreement that they had reached, and one perspective and concern was considered in another, and they accommodated in a prayerful, understanding and mutually respectful way. And that's what we need to do, because we're not always going to agree on all things. We're not always going to understand why someone else does something differently.
And Martha, it's kind of interesting, because as you're saying about all this disagreement, I'm thinking, you know, I know the evangelist St. Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, urged unity in the early church, and so did St. Paul, you know, to be of the same mind, of one accord. And yet, in our human nature, we always forget that very important lesson.
Yes, it's a beautiful passage there, be of one heart and one mind. And that is the goal. And that is the goal of love. We want to be as like God as possible. We want to have that unity that we see in the Holy Trinity. And here's one of the key things of love in times of disagreement. The fact that you disagree with me on X, Y, or Z doesn't automatically or necessarily or unequivocally make you stupid or ignorant or despicable or despised or lesser or a backwards thinking person or any other insulting and unloving label or qualifier that anybody would want to place on you, and vice versa. The fact that I may disagree with you on X, Y, or Z doesn't automatically make me anything of the same nature, stupid or ignorant or despicable. And the reason why I mention these is because We see that a lot, especially in the way we interact in media and in social media. But we do that even, unfortunately, John, these days we do it on one-on-one relationships. We have to be careful. We need to be more like St. Paul, who has a good teacher and a spiritual father that he calls himself. He does sometimes have very strong words for the communities that he was discipling. And on one occasion even seems to suggest that they were bewitched. He said, you know, who has misled you? Who has fooled you into wrong thinking and wrong beliefs? And we can many times, and we must many times, depending on a relationship with others, have that paternal and maternal love, because he even calls himself, he says he has the love of a mother and the jealousy of a true lover, he says. But he also says elsewhere that he's not responsible for the conscience and the choices of another, and vice versa. We all have freedom to discern and decide how it is that God is asking us to live in a certain situation or to understand a certain situation. And we see that throughout the history of humanity, actually, in the history of Christianity. We see it in the history of Judaism, as I made reference to Abraham and Lot before, that there have been times when we have had differences of understanding, of conviction, differences of opinion, of approach, differences in our emphases on all sorts of things that matter. And those differences sometimes are, if not entirely doctrinal and theological, they could be different approaches in our theological understanding of things, our philosophical understanding, and most certainly differences of approach in pastoral matters and social political matters, economic matters, and medical and pharmaceutical issues as well. So we need to make sure that we remember, you know, what I think is a good idea is to, in terms of our loving one another and our relating to one another, is to apply that definition of theology that we often use. Theology is faith seeking understanding, meaning that we believe and we give assent to faith to revealed truth, but we seek to understand it better, to go deeper, to look at it from different angles and perspectives, and making allowance, as St. John Newman said, for the development of doctrine, for a deeper, more full, fuller understanding of the deposit of faith and of revealed truth in our day-to-day life. So the same with our understanding of one another and of temporal matters. We just to use that as an analogy, you know, it's seeking deeper understanding of where the other person is coming from, of where anyone in the social, in the public sphere, but in the private, in our homes, in our marriages, in our family life, to try to understand more fully that not everyone looks at things the same way. We don't even always worship and celebrate life the same way, even across the board in Christianity and in the church today. We have different rites, R-I-T-E-S, and therefore we also have to respect that we all have rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, and so we can't impose on ourselves another. We need to be seeking unity in diversity, even as hard as that can be sometimes.
We're joined by Martha Fernandez-Sardina, Catholic evangelist, the founder of RememberWeAreLove.com, as we continue with our Remember We Are Love series. We're talking about love in times of disagreement. So in the few moments that we have left, Martha, how do we love rightly and respectfully in these times of disagreement and perhaps even discord or confrontation or even crisis?
Well, 1 Corinthians 13, that hymn of love, is a great thing to bring to mind. St. Paul says that if we don't have love, we are nothing. He says, if I have all the angelic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and I hand over my body so that it may be burnt, but I have no love, I gain nothing. And then he goes on to describe, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then he goes on to say, love never ends. And so in our day-to-day conversations with family members, with friends, with co-workers, with associates, in our interactions online, in our consuming various media, in our responding to the issues of the day, and there are very many issues today, we need to make sure that we're patient, that we're kind, that we're not boastful, that we're not arrogant, that we're not rude, that we do not allow ourselves to become irritated, that we not hold on to things and be resentful. In other words, that we exercise love on a day-to-day, in every conversation, even when we may not see things eye to eye, we can still, like you said, walk hand in hand.
Martha, we have about 60 seconds. The clock is always the enemy. A few quick tips that might be useful in these difficult times of disagreement that we might be running into, of how we can do it with love.
Oh, I have so much to share. Maybe we can continue it next week, but I'll say for today, no pressure or coercion, no force or imposition, no trickery or deceit, no manipulation or guilt trips, no bribery or extortion. Let's not do any of those things. Those are signs of immaturity. Those are signs of character defects, of absence of love deficiencies, I call them. They don't really respect the conscience of another when we do those kind of things. And they are an imposition on another and trying to deprive other of their God-given rights to freedom of thought, of belief, of expression, of association. Their right to wrestle with truth and to choose rightly. So let's not fall into the sin of unlove in those ways, and let's make sure that we do not let the evil one enter into our relationships with anything but the purest love of the Holy Trinity.
Absolutely. This is a big topic. I think it's so important for us. I mean, at the end of our lives, we're going to be judged on how much we were people of love. Martha, as always, thank you so much. Where can our listeners find you?
Remember, youareloved.com and MarthaFernandezSardina.com. That'll take you to my social media links as well. And remember, you are loved.
You are loved. Bendiciones. Many blessings to you. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air returns, author and biblical counselor Joe Dallas will join us to discuss responding to your child, especially teenagers who say that they are gay. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
After the hour, welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up in the bottom of the hour, we're going to have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. You know, I want to invite you, in case you haven't had a chance to do so, to share with us here on Morning Air why you stepped up to the plate last week and why you supported the mission of Relevant Radio. In case you haven't had a chance to donate yet, I want to encourage you. It's still not too late. In fact, last week was absolutely amazing, but, you know, for whatever reason, if you were out of town and you just couldn't get it done for any reason whatsoever, of course, you can still donate. So many people did last week. I've been saying it for the last couple of days. It was just a record pledge drive for us. More than 14,870 people gave gifts. Just think about it, how unbelievable that is. We raised over $3,232,000 from so many different donations across our country, coast to coast. And this is funds that we need. We need to just keep the lights on, to keep doing what we do. And so I want to just encourage you, if you haven't donated, if you weren't part of our pledge party last week, please, it's not too late. You can still do it with a tax-deductible donation. All you have to do is do it online very easily at relevantradio.com, where you can make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. And you can always do it by calling us at our pledge drive number, which is 877-291-0123. I remember that number in my sleep after saying it so many times last week. But again, a heartfelt thank you. We're not going to be saying or mentioning this much more here in the upcoming days. This is now behind us. But again, just overflowing with gratitude for the way that you stepped up to help us with our mission of bringing Christ to the world through the media, which is what we do. Now I want to switch gears and talk about a very difficult situation that many Catholics and other Christians have had to deal with, and that we're talking about the situation of your teenage child, son or daughter, coming to their parents and saying he or she is gay. No doubt, lots of emotions, perhaps anger, sadness can overwhelm us, screaming and crying are understandable reactions of a concerned and loving parent. What can we do if homosexuality hits our home? How can we respond with charity and clarity? Joining us now is Joe Dallas to talk about this difficult issue of how to respond to your teenage child who says he or she is gay. Joe Dallas is an author, biblical counselor, and public speaker. He's been ministering for 34 plus years to people dealing with sexual and relational struggles. His latest book, Christians in a Cancel Culture, was released just last week. His website is joedallas.com. Good morning, Joe. Welcome to Morning Air. Great to be with you for the very first time here on the show.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Joe, let's talk about this difficult issue. How can we calmly and respectfully respond to our son or daughter who one day walks in and says, Dad or Mom, I'm gay?
Of course, nobody is prepared for that. When we raise our children, we have certain expectations. And usually those expectations do not include the expectation that we will hear that. So in a way, it is impossible not to react when we get that news because we feel as though the rug's been pulled out from under us. On the other hand, this is still our son. This is still our daughter. This is the one we've loved all these years. So we're going to let that guide the way we express ourselves at a time like that. We have to reiterate a few things. One is that the relationship is a priority. I don't want this to come between us. I love you. I do not want us to have a breakdown in our communication, much less our relationship. Number two, I cannot and will not try to tell you what to think or what to feel. I cannot do that. But number three, yes, I will continue to assume responsibility for your behavior. If you're telling me that you're gay or lesbian or trans or bi, I am not going to tell you you may not feel that way because that's impossible. But I will tell you that I will still scrutinize who you are associating with, what organizations you are a part of, what kind of entertainment you watch. So I'm not abdicating my authority just because I am affirming my love for you. However, having said all that, please talk to me. And this is something I stress with parents, John. Ask your son or your daughter to please let you know, how long have you known this? How long have you felt this way? How did you decide that this is what your attraction or your orientation is? What are your feelings about God, about the way you were created, about what God intends for you? How do you determine what's true and what isn't? These are important, relevant questions to be asking. And if you can open up that kind of a dialogue, then you can begin asking the more penetrating questions, such as, if we do have a God who created us and his created intentions are spelled out in the scripture, then isn't it true that we feel like going outside those intentions, but that doesn't change those intentions? So that's the kind of dialogue you want to get going, if possible, and you must realize that you're up against a lot of powerful voices because you may be speaking the Christian position to your son or your daughter. But there are plenty of voices in the culture, and I'm sad to say even in parts of the church, that are speaking a very different message. So this is where, of course, you pray that God will confirm what you're saying in the heart of your son or your daughter.
Joe, and we're joined by Joe Dallas, author, biblical counselor, and public speaker, who's been ministering to people dealing with sexual and relational struggles for a long, long time, talking about how we can respond to our child who says he or she is gay. If you have any thoughts, anything that comes to mind that you want to share with us here on the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Joe, I can't help but think two things. Number one, a parent, if he's been paying attention, has probably seen the signs for a while that perhaps his child is gay. And as Christians, as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, don't you think that have to deal with this in a compassionate way, the way that Jesus dealt with people? I think that having that mercy, even with our own children, is so important.
Yes, and let's always keep in mind, first of all, that you're right. I mean, if there is no compassion, there is no Christ-likeness. I mean, if you take compassion out of the equation, you're not talking about Christianity. But by the same token, if you take truth out of the equation, you're also not talking about Christianity.
Absolutely.
So I think the point you made earlier, that clarity is charity, that's the point. Now, compassion is expressed when you are showing that, hey, I do not think any less of you because you are saying you're gay. I do not feel a disgust for you. I can empathize with what you must have been through. You must have kept this a secret. It must have been tormenting. You may have heard some terrible remarks made about gay or lesbian people, some irresponsible things said about them that have been very hurtful to you. Who knows? Maybe you even thought I would reject you because you know I'm a Christian, and I am, as you said, a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe some followers of Jesus Christ have not represented him very well to you. So for all those reasons, yes, I have compassion. And we can even point out that, you know, I'm sure if you have these feelings, if you are sexually attracted to the same sex, you didn't ask for that. You discovered it. You realized it, and you've had to struggle with what to do about it. That I can have compassion on. But don't ask me in the name of compassion to say I approve of something I do not approve of. That I cannot do. But, you know, disapproval does not negate compassion. There are many things Jesus disapproved of that did not negate his compassion for the people he was dealing with. So we can go and do likewise.
Absolutely. Go and sin no more, as he said to the woman caught in adultery.
Yeah.
Joe, what about the emotions that parents feel when they find out that their son or daughter is gay? Can you give us a little perspective on what goes through their minds and what they're feeling?
Yeah, a personal note, John. I had that conversation myself with my parents. I was a gay activist from 1978 until 1984. I was a very active member with the community and really did promote the idea that homosexuality and Christianity were compatible. I identified myself as a gay Christian. So I had the hard conversation with my parents. And what I did not realize until decades later was that when I said, Mom, Dad, I'm gay, I turned their world upside down. I mean, it's like a death. When you hear this, you have the death of an assumption. You assumed your son or daughter would feel a certain way and live a certain way, and now that assumption has been killed. And so what happens when there's a death? Well, you go through the rage, you go through the sadness, you go through the depression, you go through the worry. That's all there. And I am now the father of two grown sons. I get it. I mean, I can't help but worry about my sons, even though they're both doing very well and both lead very Christ-centered lives. There's no way to turn off that worry button. So you are going to go on a roller coaster once you get this news, and you are going to need prayer. You're going to need the fellowship and support of your church and your church leadership. You're going to need the support of people who can understand what you're going through. Because just as you should not grieve alone, you really shouldn't, so you shouldn't grieve this situation alone either. The trick is to let the emotions come, ride that roller coaster because you have no choice, but by the same token, don't let the emotions dictate your decisions or your behavior. That's when parents say things that they wish they hadn't said.
Joe, you have so much experience, including your own personal experience with this issue. I want to talk a little bit about what caused you to have a change of heart. Why were you able to have a conversion experience? But first, we need to take a short break. Again, I want to invite our listeners, if you have thoughts or questions for our special guest, Joe Dallas, about responding to your teenage child who says he or she is gay, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a break. We'll continue our conversation with Joe Dallas. Stay with us. He'll be back with much more after this timeout.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
47 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our conversation with author, biblical counselor Joe Dallas, as we're talking about this very difficult issue for so many parents of how to respond to their teenage children who say they are gay. Joe, before the break, and once again, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, John.
Joe, before the break, you were talking about your own story, and I just wanted you to share with us briefly of what caused you to have a change of heart, to have a conversion. There are some people who think that that's impossible. In fact, there are people who believe in a so-called gay gene. They don't think it's possible for a gay person to no longer practice the gay lifestyle.
Yes, but the idea is nothing new, John. As you know, when Paul wrote to the Church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, he pointed out that there are certain behaviors, including homosexuality, that will exempt people from the kingdom of God. And then he said, and such were, past tense, some of you. So even as long ago as when he wrote to the Corinthian church, there were former homosexuals within the Christian population. What caused a change of heart is what generally causes a change of heart, truth. And John, here I want to encourage Christian parents. You've raised your kids in the faith. You have been praying faithfully. You have other saints praying with you. And you are wondering if anything is going to change your son or daughter's mind because they seem so committed to this ideology and to this identity. Truth is very hard to push down once you have learned it. I learned the truth about Christ when I was 16 years old. And for years, I studied the Bible and I sat faithfully under Christian leadership. I learned what the Word of God had to say about what God intended for the human experience. And then in rebellion, I decided I'm going to do what I want to do. I did what a lot of Christians unfortunately do. I gave myself permission by justifying my sin. I said, basically, this is the way I feel. This is the way I am. Who knows? Maybe I was born this way. All of the rationalizations for going directly against what God had revealed in his word. And so I said, I give myself permission to act on these feelings. But you pay a high price for doing that. Your conscience is wounded, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and your memory of church teaching is relentless. Now, if you had asked me in 1979 or 1982, any of those years I was a gay activist, if you had asked me, Joe, do you ever have any doubts about whether or not you're doing the right thing? No, I would have said, I absolutely know I'm in the right, and this is where I'm landed, and I'm convinced, and so forth. But then I'd go home and get drunk because I would try to kill the conscience that was testifying against me. So finally, by early 1984, I realized I do not really believe in what I'm doing. I want to believe in what I'm doing. And those are two completely different things, aren't they? So I had to ask myself, am I really within God's will? And if I am not within God's will, does that matter to me? And I had to answer honestly, no, I am not within God's will. And yes, that does matter to me. Well, then what are you going to do about it? And that was when I had to remember something basic about Christianity. Jesus gave an invitation, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. But he also made it clear what you're in for if you take him up on that offer. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Well, that's where I had to decide, what is this all about?
Joe, there's a very famous Archbishop, Fulton Sheen, who was he was quite a preacher, a televangelist back in the 1950s, had a huge audience of 30 million people. He used to say, the truth is the truth, even if nobody believes it, and error is an error, even if everybody believes it. And how prophetic and how relevant those words were of Bishop Sheen, because they really apply especially to this very difficult issue of the gay lifestyle.
No, absolutely. I think we're at a time when people are standing truth on its head and saying that truth is a lie and a lie is truth. But as you said, what God has revealed remains true regardless. And I think that when you have known the truth, one good thing has happened. The truth has set you free. But one thing that's happened that can make life hard on you when you veer from it is you can't just ignore the truth. You've got to do something with it at some point. And again, that's what turned me around. I realized I'm not living in truth. I'm not walking in truth. Does that matter? Yes, it does. And I got to tell you, I initially repented, John, out of obedience to God. I just said, okay, this is a sin. I have these feelings. I am attracted to men. I can't do anything about that, but I don't have to give in to them. I am going to repent and turn away from these feelings. And dear God, help me to live an obedient life. I'm doing this out of obedience to you. Now, 37 years later, I realized that what I did was also the biggest favor I've ever done for myself. Because I did not know when I repented that within 3 years I would meet some woman who I would fall in love with and who has been my wife since 1987 and the mother of my two sons. I did not realize what an abundant life there was in store for me. All I knew initially was I must turn away from this. I must live obediently. And then it became clearer and clearer as the years passed. What God requires of us is, in fact, in our best interest, whether we realize it or not at the time.
Joe, I imagine that because you've gone through this experience yourself, it really lends to a lot of credibility when you're ministering to parents and families who are dealing with this situation themselves.
Well, I hope that it does. I've worked with countless parents over the years because, of course, every time one person comes out of the closet, two people are brought along with him, aren't they? Mom and dad. And they are put in a position of having to deal with their own emotions, having to deal with the relationship, having to figure out how do we continue to relate? Where do we draw the line? What do we say? What do we not say? It's quite a dilemma for Christian parents today, especially because, as you know, 30, 40 years ago, the church and the culture were largely on the same page on this issue, not anymore. So our kids are being released oftentimes to schools that contradict everything we're teaching them at home and to other people and other influences. So I think that we are having to deal with the feeling that we're fighting an uphill battle. But we have to remember that God loves our kids even more than we do and has his means of softening hearts and turning people to truth. And we have to continue in prayer, standing in the gap, believing and trusting that he's going to do what is necessary to bring the prodigal home.
Joe, in the final minutes that we have, some practical advice to parents that are listening of what they can say, the best approach, perhaps the importance of patience and love in responding calmly and respectfully.
Well, respect is the key word in all of this. I think it's important to convey respect by basically sending the message, do not ask me to approve of what I don't approve of, because that won't happen. If you are the parents of a teenager, you need to remind that teenager that, yes, we will retain authority over your behavior, where you go, who you hang out with, what relationships you enter into. And we also hope you will continue talking with us about the way you feel and what you think. We are hoping you make the right decision as an adult, but when you are an adult, you will have the right to decide if you want to embrace this. But this is not something you're going to act on at this time while you're under our authority. Now, if you have an adult son or daughter, then you want to make it clear, we don't want this to come between us, but we are not going to tell you we approve of what we disapprove of. We're not going to be boxed into a corner, and we're not going to try to box you into a corner. But can we talk about, and this is something I believe strongly about, John, ask if we can talk about how you arrived at the truth, How do you determine what is right? How do you determine what is God's will? And does it matter to you whether or not you are in God's will? Those are relevant questions to be asking at a time like that.
Absolutely. Joe, in the final minute that we have left, can you share with us a little bit about your book, Christians in a Cancel Culture? What a relevant title in these times.
Yeah. Well, believers these days know, John, where we stand. We know what we believe. The question is, how do we express what we believe? How do we talk about abortion, transgender, racism, progressive Christianity, and homosexuality? This book is written to equip the average believer to have an intelligent conversation with people about these issues. It provides talking points, even scripted dialogues people can use, and a biblical basis for considering these issues, issues that we cannot compromise on. So it's written to equip the average believer to be able to discuss these hot button issues.
And again, your website, joedallas.com. Joe,
that's right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is such a difficult issue. I think you've given us some great advice on how we can approach it with that clarity and charity that is so important as parents when we get the news that our teenage children are gay. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure.
Many blessings to you. Joe Dallas, biblical counselor and the author of Christians in a Cancel Culture. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called It's Your Choice from Andy Stanley. Sometimes I just want it to stop. Talk of COVID, looting, brutality, I lose my way. I become convinced that this new normal is real life. Then I meet an 87-year-old who talks of living through polio, diphtheria, Vietnam protests, and yet he's still enchanted with life. He seemed surprised when I said this last year must have been especially challenging for him. No, he said slowly, looking me straight in the eyes. I learned a long time ago not to see the world through the printed headlines. I see the world through the people that surround me. I see the world with the realization that we love big. Therefore, I just choose to write my own headlines. Husband loves wife today. Family drops everything to come to grandma's bedside. He patted my hand. Old man makes new friend. His words collide with my worries, freeing them from the tether I've been holding tight. They float away. I'm left with a renewed spirit and a new way to write my own headlines. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Glenn, thanks again, as always. You can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. If you have a story idea, just send us an email at morningair@relevantradio.com. And of course, we continue to pray for the people of Haiti, the devastating situation that's going on there, as well as the people, especially the Catholics and other Christians in Afghanistan who are also suffering. And of course, you can always join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week. And so that'll do it for this edition of Morning Air for Glenn Leverance. Producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, and Sarah Tafoya, our entire Morning Air team. This is a total team effort. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Patrick Madrid is warming up in the bullpen. He's straight ahead. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow.